GCHQ has strongly dismissed claims from the Trump administration that it helped Obama spy on Donald Trump last year. To find out more, I'm now joined by Scott Lucas, Professor of American Studies at the University of Birmingham and founder of the EA Worldview blog. So good afternoon, Scott.
Real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So we now hear that Sean Spicer, Trump's press secretary, has apparently apologized to GCHQ for these claims. But in spite of that, if assuming that is true, will they hurt the relationship between U.S. and U.K. intelligence agencies anyway?
I don't think they will hurt, because the fundamental relationship right now is between the agencies themselves and not with Trump and his inner circle, who are making these wild allegations, damaging allegations, not only about GCHQ, but of course about President Obama. None of these allegations are backed up with evidence, although it's more like they're Chinese whispers, which are based on the wider story, which is the fact that there is an investigation going on about the Trump administration or Trump associates' links with Russian officials.
But assuming this apology to GCHQ has happened, it surprises me, because this administration doesn't apologize very often. Why would they apologize on this one when there have been so many other things where they've refused to back down or apologize?
Well, even though I think the relationship at the level of intelligence agencies is fairly solid, thus between GCHQ and its American counterpart, the National Security Agency, and between the CIA and MI6, it is really bad form for an American administration to take a shot at an ally, especially when you consider this intelligence relationship has been built up over the course of 70 years. So we now have the paradox that Trump will not even apologize to his own intelligence agencies, who he has compared to Nazis in recent months. But in this case, where you've got a longstanding British service who has worked with the U.S. through the Cold War and beyond, it was time to not try to push it any farther.
Now, you mentioned the ongoing investigation into links between the Trump administration and the Russian government. How do you have any idea on how that investigation is going? And can we trust it to be conducted in an impartial manner, given that the Republican Party controls both the House of Representatives and the Senate?
Well, I think before we get to the congressional investigations, at the level the investigation is going on, largely out of public sight, which is by agencies such as the FBI, some work being done by the CIA, and some contribution to that, and this is where there is a British link, some contribution to that by GCHQ and MI6, it is ongoing, and there is serious reason to investigate the claims of the links between the Trump circle and the Russians without judging whether or not those claims are entirely true. At the level of Congress, that's going to be an important question, I think. In recent weeks, there has been politics played by some of the Republicans in Congress to try to stonewall the investigation or even to deflect it, to say that these are whipped-up charges and we really should be investigating the Obama administration and media. But I think, ironically, President Trump's wild statements that Trump Tower was wiretapped by Obama, that sort of put an end to the politics, because not even the Republican congressmen want to be allied with Trump on such an allegation.
Well, let's move away from that and to Trump's second attempt to do a travel ban for citizens from some Muslim-majority countries. Judges in two federal courts have now blocked this second travel ban. Does that mean it's dead in the water like the previous one now?
No, as you noted, the Trump administration doesn't like to say they're sorry and they don't like to say they're wrong. So only hours after that ruling was passed down, Trump was whipping up a crowd in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, the old lines, that the judiciary is playing politics, the implications that these are so-called judges, really to the point where he's taking it beyond pressing for his travel ban to this almost showdown conflict between the executive and the courts. I think at the level of the legal process, we will see this go to higher courts on appeal. We could see it eventually go to the Supreme Court. However, it is a significant setback for the moment to the Trump administration, because while that legal process is going, they cannot restrict the visa applications. They cannot restrict the refugee admissions from those six countries that are affected.
Now, when we look at Trump's priorities for legislation, his top priority seems to be repealing Obamacare and his new replacement plan, already called Trump Care by some observers. is he going to be able to get this plan through? There seems to be a fair amount of Republican opposition. And if he's spending time trying to get this bill through Congress, will that make it harder for him to get tax cuts through because there just won't be time in the legislative calendar, if you like?
I think you really hit the nail on the head with those questions. First, on the health care legislation itself, it's not going well. It'll pass through the House, where the Republicans have a fairly solid majority. But it is being attacked both from those who want to see Obamacare completely buried, so you could say the conservative wing of the Republican Party, and by those who are worried about the loss of coverage for millions of Americans by what the bill does do. So that fight will come out in the Senate. And there the Republicans only have a 52-48 majority, and already one senator has said she will not support this bill. I think a couple more will peel off, and thus the bill will be dead unless it's changed. On the broader question, the Trump administration made a big mistake when it said it would not pursue other parts of its agenda, including the tax cuts, until there was a resolution on Obamacare. Now, that resolution is not going to come for months, I suspect, which means they have cornered themselves and cannot pursue other areas where they want to say that they have a mandate, even though I think that is a very flawed mandate.
Well, fascinating to speak to you, Scott. I hope we can speak to you again at some point here on Share Radio. You've been listening to Scott Lucas, Professor of American Studies at Birmingham University and founder of the EA Worldview Blog.